Jamie Locker with you here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone. We're going to have the most outstanding player debate midway point of the Canadian Football League season. Is it Bo Levi Mitchell or is it the quarterback of your Rough Riders, Trevor Harris? Or maybe you want to go with somebody else like Vernon Adams Jr. or even Nathan Rourke, potentially. But right now we're going to talk some NFL and head to Cleveland and Browns camp is one of the big stories after the first week of the NFL season. Our preseason was Shedeur Sanders and his performance in his preseason debut. Matt Fontana joining us and now host on 97.1 The Fan in Cleveland. Matt, after that fall down the draft board, the ridicule Shedeur Sanders received about his interview process, how fulfilling do you think it was to have that type of preseason debut for the young Sanders?
Oh, he had to feel so good, Jamie. I mean, it's just got to be the question we all had was, can he play? You know, can he play? And I think it was one preseason game, and yeah, there were a lot of backups in there, but I think unequivocally he showed on Friday that he deserves to be on an NFL field. And what that goes from here or what they continue to develop him kind of remains to be seen. But yeah, that had to just be a lot of weight off of his shoulders, and I think, you know, even for the Browns, like a little bit of confirmation bias, if you will, or just like an approval rating for the team to say, hey, we saw what we saw and we think he can play, and just to kind of ease some things over. But now you kind of traded some energy of questioning if he can play or not to now energy going towards, well, why isn't he playing more? Or why is he not going up the draft board? You know, or I'm sorry, up the depth chart. You know, the depth chart's unchanged this week. So it's kind of you're trading one energy of people getting after you about can he actually play and was this a wasted pick. Now that energy is towards why aren't you giving him more reps.
Matt, do you think he actually has a shot at that number one spot?
No, I don't. I think it's Joe Flacco all the way. I think that they are just, even how they show things in camp, even how they've been operating in camp, and we'll know more this week because they're in Philadelphia for 2 days worth of joint practices tomorrow and Thursday. And the expectation is a lot of first-team reps for Joe Flacco. I mean, the Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel hamstring injury certainly, I think, threw a wrench into things, but you had four quarterbacks. It was tough to go anyway. So I really think the plan all along was Joe Flacco to start. They brought Kenny Pickett in at the time because they didn't have any other quarterbacks, and then they go out and get three more after him. So I don't think that's a real vote of confidence for Kenny Pickett. So I really think it's Flacco to start. They'll keep the rookies around, obviously. And I really think that they'd make a move to send Kenny Pickett off if somebody else came calling needing a backup quarterback.
Is that the best way to go about this? Is it? Because I think it is. I'm tired of teams throwing rookies into the fire and then they flank. Like Trevor Lawrence, wouldn't he have been better to? You looked what, you know, Aaron Rodgers was able to do behind Brett Favre. What Jordan Love was able to do behind Aaron Rodgers. And you kind of go, isn't that the best thing for a young quarterback in the National Football League rather than be through? Well, look at Patrick Mahomes. He didn't start right away. He didn't start till the end of his first season, and Alex Smith got that job. Wouldn't this be smart by the Browns to go about it this way rather than throw a young quarterback to the wolves, so to speak?
Well, I think my favorite one, and those are all great examples, I'll give you one more that's my favorite, and that's Drake May. It doesn't have to be the whole season. Keep him on the bench until you feel comfortable, whether it's 6 games, 10 games, it is the whole season. And I think that's what the Browns might do. The Browns have one of the most brutal starts to the schedule of any team in the NFL. I was talking to Warren Sharp on my show, and he does football analytics. And according to Warren's metrics, nobody has a tougher 6-game stretch to start the season than the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, you don't want to throw a rookie out there and put them in there. So you throw Flacco in there, try to win some games. And then whichever of the two rookies shows you more, you throw them in there. And then, yeah, by the end of the season, you could flip to the other one. And then knowing that if it all really, really goes bad, they have two first-round picks next year to try to draft another quarterback and find their franchise guy.
Can I take my September 7th prediction off the board?
Yeah. Jamie? You didn't put it on the board. You're okay. Locker was sure Shedeur Sanders would be QB1.
Has Stefanski announced, Matt, who he's going to start on Saturday, though, for the Eagles in the preseason here?
I would say it's probably going to be Dylan Gabriel. I think that he had the hamstring injury. It wasn't all that serious. the reports, the vibe that I'm kind of hearing from camp is that it is going to be Gabriel. But they, like I said, they do have these 2 days of practice out with the Eagles. So hopefully if they get through that healthy. Pickett's the anomaly to me here. Like, if Pickett's healthy, and it kind of sounds like he is, are they just doing the same, like, oh, he's a veteran, he doesn't need these reps? But like, it's not like he's Joe Flacco. So if I had to bet today and just kind of what I'm hearing, I think it's going to be Dylan Gabriel on Saturday.
When you look at Kevin Stefanski, how important is this season for him as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns?
It's a great question, because every time we hear from ownership, it's them understanding the Deshaun Watson disaster, which was in part of them, obviously. And that's more maybe a pass for Andrew Berry, but it's certainly a pass for Kevin Stefanski. And I've been a Stefanski defender because I've seen him kind of pull it out of the fire with backups. You know, he had Joe Flacco come off the couch and win games and get them into the playoffs, you know. So I do think there's pressure. It's not quite a, hey, 3-14 again, you just get to come on back. So there's some, but I would just say at this point I'd be really shocked if they moved on from either one of them, even if it was 3-14. I think there'd be a lot of people that would question it, but I think the Haslams, the ownership group, understand just the pickle that they put everybody in with acquiring Deshaun Watson. So I think there is a hot seat, but I don't think that it's going to be a move at the end of the year for either one of them.
Matt, we had a conversation in the Green Zone Lounge earlier today, and when we were talking about having you on, and the conversation was about what type of leader Kevin is. Does he have a style that's easy to just what is the culture right now in Cleveland with the Browns? And does he play a part in massaging it, or is do you understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah, no, 100%. Because I mean, obviously, I'm sure you guys saw it. Just, you know, Miles Garrett, another speeding ticket. You know,
I was just going to say, what's with Shedeur Sanders and Miles Garrett? Like, is there a freeway that's a drag race in Cleveland, or what?
I sent this tweet today. It is this stretch of highway, literally where I grew up. The next exit on that highway is the exit of my hometown. I have driven that stretch of highway 10 to 20,000 times in my life. Guys, there's cops there all the time. Like, I would tell them they got pulled over in the same spot. There's always police sitting there. Always. I don't know how they haven't figured it out. I'm not excusing them from speeding. But, like, it is the worst. Like, everybody in Northeast Ohio knows that there's always police sitting right there. But that all aside, you know, the Kevin Stefanski leadership style is, I mean, he is about as straightforward as you can get it. He's not he is the furthest thing probably from, like, a Bill Belichick, like, going to rip somebody in front of people or, you know, dress them down or scream at them. He's not overly loud on the field. He's not very boisterous. There's clips of him in the locker room where he gets fired up, you know, after wins, certainly. But he's just kind of about his business. Whether guys follow that style, if they take advantage of that style from time to time, I think that is certainly a conversation. But he's kind of one of those guys, like, you know, in a football coach, right? Like, you bring them on and say, okay, X's and O's are leadership, right?
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Stefanski is an X's and O's guy. He is 100% an X's and O's type of quarter, or, you know, football coach.
Well, it's a good thing he doesn't have any strong personalities in his room.
Right. That's, you know, and that's the thing, too. Sometimes you need players that are going to help you out, or coaches. And I think that's kind of where Jim Schwartz comes in a little bit, too. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody, well, I don't say everybody, but there's certainly detractors. But, like, most of the fans understand, like, he's good at the X's and O's part. They would like more in the leadership part of it, and they obviously certainly want more wins.
Okay, Matt, there's two questions I need to ask you based on your social media. The first question is explaining your tweet a little bit further, that Travis Kelce has done more for Cleveland by not playing for the Browns than if he would have.
That just went up, too. I like that one.
Yeah, so here's the thing. So obviously he said he was in the GQ interview that he was begging Rob Chudzinski to draft him because he's from Cleveland and all that kind of stuff. I actually played a JV game against Travis Kelce way back in the day, so he was good back then too. But so
how'd that go?
If he comes to, he was a quarterback at the time, and I just remember this tall, lanky guy just smoking us from Cleveland Heights. It was a lot of fun. He was very good. But so here's the thing. So if Travis Kelce gets drafted by the Browns, they're going to ruin him. Okay, he's not going to be the first ballot Hall of Famer, 10-time All-Pro, 4-time first-team All-Pro tight end, right? So if he's not going to be able to do that, then he's not going to have the platform that his brother and he have. He's probably never going to date Taylor Swift because he would just be some other guy that had a cup of coffee in the NFL and moved on. And all of that exposure has brought good things to the city of Cleveland. People are you know, getting a better narrative about the city of Cleveland out there, and he reps Cleveland really hard, as does his brother. Yeah. So if he would have come here, he would have probably just been here for a couple of years, jettisoned off to somewhere else, and who knows, maybe he would have been super uber successful for another team. But I think it's funny. It's actually a topic I can't wait to talk about, is that would you, like, is that a sacrifice that Clevelanders are willing to make? Because, like, I would happily sacrifice having Travis Kelce on this team in the past for his betterment and the betterment of his career. That's one that I'm willing to take on for sure.
Okay, the next question I have has nothing to do with sports at all. Who was the best Batman?
Okay, so I don't know how big of, I'm going to use the word nerds lovingly because I am a nerd. Do you guys know about the Batman, the animated series that was on in the 90s?
No.
That does not ring a bell to me.
Okay, so then there's also the Arkham video game. So my favorite Batman is a guy named Kevin Conroy. And nobody really knows who Kevin Conroy is.
Oh, we're going deep.
He was just we're going deep. He was a voice actor on that TV show and also in the movies. So when I read Batman comics, I read them in his voice in my head. So Kevin Conroy is my answer. That all being aside of the Batman that people actually know, I mean, there's so many things. Like Adam West, certainly back in the day, he's actually the closest like size and weight to what Batman would be. So that one could be your answer. Keaton's so good. I liked Val Kilmer. Nobody liked George Clooney. Christian Bale was fine.
It was the suit. Pattinson George so got good. He got it was the suit with the nipples. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's some crazy things about Joel Schumacher who made that movie with him. You can Google that maybe on a different day. But yeah, there's some weird things about that. But I think Pattinson is so good. If you guys like the new one, if you had to give it, I'm going to say Keaton. Those ones set up everything else, so I'll say Keaton.
All right, I'll throw a wrench into it. Where does Will Arnett stand on your list of Batman?
Good one. So my son loves the Lego Batman, and he would probably, I mean, he'd be over George Clooney, so
okay.
I'll put him ahead of that, and I think I'd probably have to put him ahead of Ben Affleck, so he's definitely not in the bottom.
Oh, poor Ben. Poor Ben. Are you kidding me?
I wanted it so bad. I wanted it to work. It didn't work.
It didn't work.
Suit, though. I liked his suit.
Ben's below George.
I liked the suit in that one.
Seriously.
What was the other costume? The red costume? He was a superhero. What? Ben Affleck.
He was Daredevil. He was
Daredevil. Oh, yeah, that was awful. Daredevil. That was a mistake.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that one is bad. Well, that's how he met his wife, because then he married Jennifer Garner, and she was in that. They played Elektra, so... That's how that all came together. But
see,
yeah,
I like the OG. I'm going Adam West. That's I go with the OG. Yeah. I just
can't beat it. Can't beat it.
Keaton's mine.
Okay, that's interesting. Matt, this was an enjoyable conversation.
We got to have you back.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll have you back when Shedeur Sanders becomes the starter in Week 5.
I like that. I think Week 5, Week 6, I'd place my wagers there, too.
Right on, Matt.
I'll put that on the board for you, Matt.
Matt Fontana, he is from The Fan at ESPN in Cleveland. And played against Travis Kelce.
Wow.
Back in the high school days. That was a fun chat. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. A real quick congratulations. Some local officials will be going to the Olympics as Hockey Canada announced 10 officials who have been tabbed to take part in the Milan Cortina Italy Games. The referees, four of them from Hockey Saskatchewan, Sienna Leffers from Cudworth, Michelle McKenna from Moose Jaw's referees, and two lines persons, Alex Clark out of Drake, Saskatchewan, and Terrington Yonzik out of Yorkton are the four Saskatchewan officials on the women's tournament who will be in Italy.
That's a good gig if you can get that, eh?
Well done. We've had Alex Clark on the Green Zone before she took part. She was one of the lines people in a couple of years ago in the AHL getting a shot, and then the WHL as well.
Nice.
Getting a shot on the men's side of things. We were just talking about female officials in men's sports and the major leagues with the baseball umpire the other day. Alex Clark was one of those on her working her way up.
Jen Powell.
Mm-hmm. The
first
umpire.
Female. It was a Marlins Braves game. Write that down for trivia.
Who was playing for the first behind the plate
female? And who won?
Umpire. I don't even know. Marlins?
No, I think the Braves won 7-1.
No, it's meanwhile, Braves in the latest in sports, you have the Berries and the Red Sox tonight. Speaking of baseball, Cairns Field, Game 3, the deciding game. Winner moves on to take on Sylvan Lake Gulls in the league championship game. Riders back at practice. Nobody really returning from injuries after the bye week, unfortunately, as they get set to take on the Tiger Cats. Now, 1 o'clock on Saturday, and they're about 2,000 tickets away from a sellout at Mosaic Stadium. Coming up next, is this a matchup of the two favorites to win MOP? Most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League. We debate who should get the MOP at the midway point of the season, Trevor Harris or Bo Levi Mitchell. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. As the Riders back at it today, pads were on at practice for the Rough Riders. Why is that significant, Walker?
Well, because they got to hit each other.
That's part of it. Yep. That is true. Ramping up the intensity a little bit, because what happened the last time they came off a bye week?
It didn't look good.
Oh.
That looked rough.
The only loss of the season was after their bye week against the Calgary Stampeders. So this week, the head coach, Corey Mace, was asked, were the pads on because of the lack of response?
A little bit. You know, I just to get us humming, you know, after some time off, you know, I think it's good. It's good competition, and really I thought the guys enjoyed it anyway, so it worked out good.
It seems like the guys really like when the pads go on.
So how many are they allowed a year?
I think it's up to 9. I think it was at 6, and then they umped back
up to 9. That is a little ridiculous how low that is.
Well, the numbers indicated there were less concussions suffered and head injuries suffered last season with limited padded practices, so that's what they're gunning for.
Okay.
Anyways.
Keep them safe, I guess.
Lesson learned from the last week after a bye going into this week against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. But on the marquee, it's Trevor Harris, Bo Levi Mitchell, and we are asking you on the Green Zone today, at the midway point of the season, a lot of teams have played 9 games. I know the Riders have only played 8. After their 9th game next week, we'll give you our midseason grades. But we're having the debate. Who is the midseason most outstanding player in the Canadian Football League? Is it Hamilton Tiger Cats quarterback Bo Levi Mitchell, who leads the league in passing touchdowns, leads the league in completions, leads the league in yards? Or is it Trevor Harris, number 2 in completion percentage, number 1, of course, when it comes to passer efficiency, and, of course, number 1 when it comes to winning percentage, a 6-1 record as a starting quarterback this season for the Riders? 1-877-332-8255. Who would your vote go to today? Would it be Bo Levi Mitchell as the most outstanding player, or would it be Trevor Harris?
Can we pick somebody else other than Bo or Trevor?
Of course you can.
Okay, all right. I'm just making sure.
You can't limit it. It's a ballot. I think you're wrong if you're picking somebody else, but that's fine. It could be Vernon Adams Jr. Of course, if you're the...
Could be Kenny Lawler.
A couple of weeks ago, I would have picked Kenny Lawler over Bo, but now that Kenny's getting double-teamed all over the place, the numbers have dropped down a little bit.
His numbers have dropped, yeah.
But Bo's humming right now. Was it 7 300-yard passing games for Bo Levi Mitchell?
I'm gonna give it to Trevor because he's got the wins. He's hung in there.
Or does he have just the better team than Bo does around him? Let's go to the fan line. Taylor's going to get us started in Saskatoon. Taylor, who would your vote go for most outstanding player at the midway point of the season?
Flip a coin. That's my opinion because they both, even though I'm not a fan of Bo, but, flip a coin because they both look insane. They both have strengths in their own ways. And yes, you're right. I'm not saying this because I'm biased, but I think the Riders do have a better team around them. I think that's why Trevor does look slightly better. So in that regards, I'd probably say Bo, but I'm not going to go against my boy Trev because he's a Rider. And also one thing left to say is Bombers suck, and I hate them.
I'm glad you added that, Taylor. Can't wait for Taylor's call in a couple of weeks ahead of the Labor Day Classic in the Banjo Bowl.
Who's more mobile? Are you giving that to Bo? Because they're both kind of pocket guys, right?
Bo's actually I want to say Bo's a little bit more nimble than he used to be. When he was in Calgary, Bo didn't run a lot. But he's got 10 quarterback run attempts this season. Trevor's only got 2. So Trevor's only ran the ball 2 times in 7 games.
Trevor gets rid of the ball quicker, though.
Yes, he does.
I think the issue with Bo and the reason why he ends up running more is because he's hanging on to it a little bit longer, and maybe he's having to make a decision, I got to run now because, targets are taken.
When you look at games started, Bo has 2 more games started than Trevor Harris right now. Average it out. If he's getting nearly 300 yards a game, and that's where about Trevor Harris is about 300 yards a game. Add 600 to his total. He is right behind Bo Levi Mitchell for yards. Like, right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
A touchdown passes, maybe not so much. But the efficiency Trevor Harris is throwing, 119.7 is his QB efficiency.
Where do we stack up with the Ticats in the running game, Jamie? Like Riders versus the Ticats there.
The Riders have a better running game than the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Like, overwhelmingly better?
Saskatchewan has 110 yards per game rushing. Tiger Cats, 75 yards per game rushing. So, that's a pretty big jump. Hamilton's 8th in the league. Saskatchewan's 3rd in the league in rushing. Ken, you're going other for MOP. Who are you going with?
I'm going off the board, and I'm going to Vernon Adams Jr. And as much as his numbers aren't gaudy like these other ones you're talking to, about, he's made a huge difference in that Calgary team.
Bad team so looking good, yeah.
Fun.
So it's more of the wins above expectation for Vernon Adams Jr., maybe.
The fact that they're winning, and if you go back to how good BC was when he was there and what they've become since he left, you're going, okay, the guy's a difference maker, and I'm impressed.
Ken's got a good point. He's got a really good point, Jamie.
I think Vernon Adams Jr. would get some love right now when it comes to most outstanding player debate. Absolutely. So Ken says Vernon Adams Jr. Glenn, north of Dewdney, who's your vote going for and why?
I listened to Ken. He made some pretty good points there. But, okay, maybe my green glasses, but I got to go with Trevor. When you talk about Bo, keep in mind, you've got Kenny Lawler as a receiver. You got Tim White. So they've got 2 guys that are in the conversation for most outstanding player at the halfway, not even the halfway mark of the season. You know, Trevor does a lot of things, drops the ball in quick. He gets rid of the ball fast. So, no, I got to go with Trevor.
He spreads it around well, too, Glenn. That's the other thing, right? And they have had, there's been a lot less consistency with who's in for wide receiver in Saskatchewan as well. Right? So he hasn't got the same targets every week, Trevor. So he's had to move the ball around. So
Good point, Locker. Yeah, he does. It's always been next man up in Saskatchewan where – Hamilton, you've got you've got Kenny Lawler, you got Tim White, you got some really outstanding receivers there, and it's the same guys week after week.
Really. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's what's crazy for the Hamilton Tiger Cats right now. Glenn, thanks for the call. Is Shamar Bridges, who was like the rookie of the year last year, hasn't even been much of the conversation. Like Keandre Smith has jumped up to the number three role with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So Tim White, man, Bo would have over 3,000 yards passing if Tim White doesn't drop a few footballs almost every game. As we go to Dave up next.
He went to Tim quite a bit last week, though.
Yes, he did. Tim, what do you got for MOP, Bo, Harris, or other? Sorry, Dave. Dave, go ahead.
Oh, hey. I obviously am a diehard Rodgers fan, but I think that the person that's the unsung kind of person is Nathan Rourke. Because, and the reason I say that is because I've got an older couple that bought VIP tickets to BC Lions for this year, and every single week he comes back from BC Lions game and he says the way Nathan Rourke throws is the best he's ever seen in CFL. And I believe Trevor Harris is probably number one, but I think Nathan Rourke should be number two.
So, Dave, it's interesting you throw Nathan Rourke's name into the mix because Nathan has 5 300-yard passing games. He's gone over 400, of course. He runs a little bit more than everybody else at the quarterback spot, and he's a lot more efficient than he was last year. He struggled last year with touchdown interceptions. This year he's been a lot better. And
they're not winning games, though. They are, but they're not winning like – Hamilton and the Rough Riders, right? So I think you got to put him down a notch or two based on that.
But how many – Nathan's going to get a narrative because he's the Canadian quarterback. He's always going to win favor.
And we're seeing
people, that. People had him as the best player in the Canadian Football League on their ballot after being terrible last year. And hadn't been in the league and been at a high caliber since 2022. That's 3 years ago. And people were like, nah, he's the best player in the Canadian Football League. So now they're going to be like, oh, he's the MOP of the Canadian Football League.
Yeah.
Look at his number. And he's a Canadian quarterback. And I just look at it. I take the passport out of it. Couldn't care less. It's a great story if he's the face of the franchise. But Trevor Harris is 6-1 as a starter. Trevor Harris is the most efficient quarterback. Trevor Harris has lost his two best receivers in Kean Schaefer Baker and Sam Amelis, and Dante Myers and Keyshawn Johnson, two second-year guys, look good with Trevor Harris throwing the ball.
Don't forget about Found Money.
And the offensive line. The offensive line looks better because Trevor Harris gets the ball out so darn quick.
Yeah.
If that was Cody Fajardo or somebody else, they'd probably have that high sack number.
I like Trevor. Bull, and I like his game. I do. I enjoy watching Hamilton Ticats football this year. He has made it must-watch TV this year, especially with you know, especially when he was connecting with Kenny Lawler. But I'm giving the edge to Trevor.
My vote would actually be today. It would be Bo Levi Mitchell. It really would.
I'm going to give it to Trevor. And I think next week is going to be this would be an interesting conversation next week as well, depending on what happens on Saturday.
1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone. You can weigh in now on who you'd vote for at the midway point of the season on most outstanding player. Trevor Harris, Bo Levi Mitchell, Vernon Adams, Nathan Rourke has a vote. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Brutal.
producer Scott just said one of the, I think it's a top three thing you don't say to Locker or he gets mad at you.
My dog's name is Kingston.
Yeah, he just said the Rush might be a touch better than the Tragically Hip or a touch worse than the Tragically Hip. Oh, they're worse than the Hip are worse than Rush. That's, them's fighting words, Locker. You're going to have to go in there in the commercial break.
No, no, I got a plan. I'm going to send him a picture tonight. Just watch, let that watch, just let watch that the percolate. Green Zone text group. That's all I'm saying. Just
oh, don't watch. Involve me in this.
You got to see it.
Our game of the night. Ah, yes. Game three, Barry's Red Sox 705.
Local ball, baby.
Cairns Field.
7 o'clock start.
Yeah. The winner of that one wins the East and goes on to take on the Sylvan Lake Gulls, who put away Okotoks Dogs last night. Yes, there will be a new champion in the WCBL after Okotoks have won three straight championships. They're out. Sylvan Lake Gulls are in the final. Will it be the Berries or the Red Sox again? 7 o'clock, first pitch in Saskatoon for the deciding game number three. And then they have a day of rest. And then the championship series begins on the 14th.
The Gulls are undefeated in the playoffs right now, too.
4-0 right now through the playoffs. The Blue Jays back at it in a couple of minutes, actually. They take on the Chicago Cubs to start a little bit of a homestand there. And the Riders back at practice. Pads were on today as their first day of practice back to get set for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Britton Gray brings you up to date next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.